All right, we want to welcome everybody that's watching online this morning to our Bible study at Waldo Baptist Church. If you like snow and ice, you ought to be delighted. I'm ready for the spring thaw and looking forward to it. And I've had enough snow and ice now, so I'm ready for spring. It's the good Lord bring it around soon enough, I guess. But we all missed last Sunday because of the weather. And so I'll try to catch us up and get us where we need to be this morning, if that's possible. And let's start out with prayer this morning. A good friend of mine in Lexington, Kentucky, David Rose, he is home now. He had cancer surgery. And they took out about everything they could on him, and he has a colostomy now. And we've been texting back and forth, and he'll be starting his chemotherapy. I'm trying to remember the date on that, but it's a few weeks away that he'll start that. But David and Chantel Rose, remember them in your prayers. Richard.
They had to take Lloyd
Brown to
the question
services. Oh, they did?
He was at the rehab.
Okay.
Fallen and then his blood pressure was like 200. Lloyd Bramer.
Lloyd Bramer, yeah.
Carol's
husband, yeah. I know. Right. She was Carol Lovercamp, wasn't she? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, we want to remember Lloyd in our prayers too. And does anybody know how Lloyd Austin's test turned out?
Good.
Good. Good. Glad to hear that. And then Gary Jennings, my brother over here, is going to have open heart surgery. And so they said that they have checked him thoroughly and they couldn't find a heart, so they're going to put one in. And we're looking forward to that. We think that he'll really be a great guy when he gets a heart. And so you remember this brother in our prayers as well and lift him up in prayer. As many others, my sister, my wife, let's have a whole lot of folks that are hurting. Now this precious lady over here that did a flip in the house and broke her wrist, I think Tony greased the floor, but I'm not sure. But you remember her. She's healing up from a broken wrist, so remember her in your prayers, too. Let's go. Yes, Janice.
Jeannie, she's having trouble with blood clots in her leg.
Who is?
Ronnie's wife, Jeannie.
Oh, Jeannie. Okay. Ronnie.
Vassar.
Yeah. I love that guy. He's funny. I like funny people. Ronnie Vassar's wife, Jeannie, remember her in our prayers too.
Patty and Donnie.
Pat.
Donnie lost his brother.
Ronnie.
Kinnaman. Oh, he did.
Yeah.
I hadn't heard. I'm surprised my sister hadn't called me. Donnie Kinnaman lost his brother then. Remember that family in our prayers. Okay. I'm kin to them, by the way. All right. They don't claim me, but I am. Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, and we have many requests because we have many people that we love and care about that are suffering right now for different reasons. Some are injured. Some are hurting from pain caused by different things. Others are losing their sight. Others have cancer. Others have some type of problem or disease that even the doctors don't know what it is. But we know that you do. Everyone that's mentioned this morning, we put them in your hands, in your intensive care. And we pray, Father, that you would do a healing work in their bodies, that you would bless them with healing and grace and comfort. Be with the caregivers that help them, and Lord, bless and watch over them as well. We pray, Father, that you might bless our Bible study this morning, that you might speak through your word, and we might be able to apply it to our own lives and hearts. be with Nate that's sick at home with the flu. His whole family's been through this, and we lift him and the rest of his family up in our prayers. And we pray for all those of our church family that are sick and hurting and injured today, that you might do a healing work in their bodies and bring them back to us. We thank you for this day, the opportunity to gather in your house, and the many blessings of life you give us each day. I pray for Diane's son Bonner, that you do a work in his heart and life, and Lord, that you would, as you have done for all of us in our life, when we weren't even looking for you, you did a work of grace. And for that, we pray for him. And we pray that you'll continue to reach out and to change people's hearts and lives that we love and care about. And we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. And through his shed blood, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, we have been studying about, and we started out with the Valley of Dry Bones in the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter. And as we looked at that, we saw there are two things that are necessary. Actually, it doesn't matter if we're talking about salvation or we're talking about after we're saved, walking with Christ in such a way that he is absolutely real in our lives and is included in every area and every aspect of our lives. And that comes about by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. And so even as a born-again believer in Christ Jesus, it is important that I know what the Word says, that I not only know what it says, but I know the one who wrote it, that I know the God that is behind all of this, and I'm not just looking for information when I read the Bible. I'm looking for illumination. I'm looking for how God speaks to me through the Word. Each one of you is unique in your own way. We're like the snowflakes. Well, thank God we don't melt and go away, but we are like the snowflakes. We're all different. And God knows you better than you know yourself. And he knows me better than I know myself. And so in my unique situation, whatever it is, God speaks to me through his word concerning what he wants me to know about him and who he is, his plan, his ways for my life. And so that's what I look for when I read scripture. I look for God speaking to me specifically because he knows my name. It's graven in his hand. He knows every hair on my head. He knows all things, past, present, and future. So when I read the word, I'm reading how God is speaking to me in that day, in the situation I might be in, as a unique individual that God knows and cares about. And so that's how we should read Scripture. It is a reading of God uniquely speaking to you through the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, so that you might be led and you might be nourished and you might be strengthened in your own life as a Christian. And so we've used different examples. We looked at Zacchaeus, the tax collector that everybody hated because of the tax collectors and the way they lived, and they added extra fees that brought them money. And so we saw Zacchaeus climb up a sycamore tree, and he was not tall in stature. He was short like me. And he climbed up that sycamore tree, and you know all the crowd that's around him saw him when he climbed up there, and you'd think he'd want to be inconspicuous because everybody hated him anyway. And yet he had to see Jesus. And we know that salvation came to his house because he sought out Christ himself. And then we looked at, and we've been looking at Moses in the book of Exodus. And we looked at Moses as he come down off a mountain, and as he come down off the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments, he found that the nation of Israel had gone backwards. They had taken their golden bracelets and gold and melted them down and made a golden calf. They were dancing and worshiping and singing around the golden calf. So as Moses looked at that, he thought, well, Lord, what now? And how do I go from here? And what is your plan? And so that's, we looked at that and we studied through that, and we saw that he asked God that he would show him his ways. And he said to God, God told Moses, he said, I will go up from here with you. And Moses said, if you don't go with us, we're not going. Because the only thing that makes any difference in us and everyone else is your presence. So we looked at what Moses needed to know. He needed to know God. He needed to know God's ways, and he needed to know God's plan. Well, that's the same thing we need to know. We need to know God. We need to know God's ways. We need to know God's plan for our life. And so that's how we looked at it, and we saw how God spoke to Moses and showed him his glory and his great attributes. And as we look at that, we saw that Moses had already seen miracles. He had seen lead the children of Israel out of captivity. He had seen a burning bush that wasn't consumed and God speak out of the bush. He had seen plagues come upon Egypt that was unexplainable except for the power of God. He had seen a Red Sea part and the children of Israel walk across on dry land. And then the floods consumed the armies of Egypt. He had seen manna from the sky feed them in the wilderness. He had seen water come from a rock to give them water to drink. He had seen all these things. And yet he said, God, I need to see your glory. And that's something that all of us are looking forward to. And in our own life as a believer, to see the glory of God. And I won't see the glory of God till I get there. I'm sure of that. But that is a living hope that I always have. And here, it is that the attributes of God that make him glorious should be seen in my own life as well. And yet, she had something that all of us need to not only have, but cultivate. And that is a desperate faith. A desperate faith. And so if you go to the book of Mark and you go to the 21st verse of the 5th chapter of the book of Mark, we will encounter this lady, and we will see exactly what her problem was and how she was touched by the power of God through Jesus Christ. In the 21st verse of the 5th chapter of Mark, when Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. And we see, by the way, we see this man's faith himself. He believed that Christ could raise up his daughter from the sickness that she had. And notice it says, as you continue in verse 24, so a large crowd followed and pressed around him. In other words, he is engulfed by this crowd of people. Now, this crowd of people are not followers. They are watchers. They are there to see what Jesus can do. They're not there to see Jesus. We know that because they were wanting to see, well, he's going to go and he's going to heal this daughter. We're going to go see if he can do that. We're going to see if he is who he says he is. We're going to see a miracle. So they were crowded around the Lord Jesus Christ, it says. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. That, they were all around him. They were touching him. Verse 25. Notice what it says. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Notice, it doesn't even tell us her name. It doesn't even tell us what her name is. A woman was there, it says, who's subject to bleeding for 12 years. Verse 26, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Not only was she not mentioned by name, she is a nobody, but she has suffered greatly. Says she's been to all the doctors in the land and nobody could help her. Nobody could help her at all. Not only did they not help her, she had gotten worse. Not only had she gotten worse, but she's now penniless. She had spent everything she had. And so here we see a woman, not named. Here we see a woman in desperate need. Here we see a woman that has been to every doctor she can find, spent all the money that she had, and now, you know what? She has nothing but faith. She has nothing but faith. Verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, so somebody had told her about Jesus. Somebody had not only told her about Jesus, they had told her that this man is different than anybody else that's walked on the face of the earth. This man has the power to heal. This man has come down from God. When she heard about Jesus, it says, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd. Now here we have a woman. Now, according to Jewish law, if they had known what was wrong with her and they had known what she was doing, they would have probably took her out and stoned her because she was unclean. She had an issue of blood. She hemorrhaged blood. And in Jewish law, they were called unclean and they could not touch anyone else. So this woman, with all this crowd around Jesus, has woven her way through there, and now she's coming up behind him. Why did she come up behind him? I would say she came up behind him because she didn't want him to see her. She thought of herself as unworthy. She thought of herself as unclean. She was ashamed. She was ashamed because in Jewish law, she should have been. She was supposed to be according to that law. So this is the predicament we find her in as she comes into the crowd and she comes up behind Jesus Christ. Notice verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because, this is a big because she thought, she believed enough to risk being stoned. She risked being caught. She risked going through this crowd. She risked everything. If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. If I just touch Jesus' clothes, I will be healed. Now that's faith. That's faith. Verse 29. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Immediately she was healed. Do you remember the day you called on Jesus by faith and asked him to forgive your sins and come into your heart and change your life? Immediately. Immediately. Not over a week's time, not over months, not over a series of days. Immediately, your life was changed. Immediately, your heart was changed. Immediately, you became a new creation in Jesus Christ. By faith and by the power of Christ. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Now notice verse 30. Notice verse 30. Now you got to realize there is a humongous crowd of people pressing on Jesus. He's being touched everywhere. He's being touched all over as he works his way through the crowd. But only one person really touched him by faith. Only one person by faith touched him. How do I know that? Because that's what it says. Verse 30, at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" That was a funny question because everybody was touching him. But only one touched him. And power went out to that person. And he knew it as soon as he did. Do you realize that God knew it as soon as you touched him with your faith and power went out from him to you and you became a new creation in Christ Jesus immediately? Who touched my clothes? Verse 31. You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, "Who touched me?" Everybody's touched you. We've all touched you. Verse 32, but Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Verse 31, then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, unclean woman, ashamed, penniless, name isn't even mentioned, told him the whole truth, and he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering." daughter. Huh. Didn't even have a name. And now she's a child of God. He could have said woman. He could have said you. But no, what did he say? Daughter. When you touched me with your faith, not only were you physically healed, you became a child of God. Daughter. Now, don't get the wrong idea. This woman will die sometime. But when she did, it was coronation day. It was graduation day. It was celebration day. When Lazarus was raised from the grave, when Jesus looked at that tomb that held Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come out, and he walked out of that grave and grave clothes, a man that had been dead for 3 days walked out, he would die later on. We understand that. But he would forever know that the power of God had touched his life and he was different than he ever was before. This woman, unnamed, now a child of God, penniless, without hope in the world, she knew she had one thing. And that was Jesus. But she also knew that's all she needed. That's very important. Because I'm bringing this up, because as we've gone through this study, I wanted to go back to that, where we were making the point that you have to hunger. You have to. This woman was desperate when she came to Christ. Help was nowhere else. Help was nowhere else. And I had mentioned this, and that is, are you asking God to fill you with his presence? And are you making God real in every area of your life? There is no area of your life so insignificant that you do not allow God in. Many times we think, well, he wouldn't be concerned with that. Oh, yes, he is. You are a child of God. And he knows you, and he knows everything you're going through and everything you're facing. What if you had a son and a daughter, and you found out that something was bothering them, something was troubling them, and you asked them, you said to them, well, why didn't you mention this to me? And they said, well, it was so insignificant, I didn't think to bother you with it. And you would say, what do you think I'm here for? I love you. That's God. He wants to be involved in every area of our life. Remember, I talk about walking in his presence on a daily basis, that each day in everything you do, more overshadowing than anything else is the presence of God and Christ in you, that he is involved in your thinking, in everything that you go through and everything you face during that day. What do you do when you get in your automobile and you take off down the road? I I don't know about you, but I'm thinking, Lord, get me there safe. And if I'm behind, I'm praying, Lord, not only get me there safe, get me through every green light you can. I bring God into all this stuff. You see, I believe there's nothing so insignificant in my life that He's not concerned about it. Because He is my Father. When my earthly father was here, believe you me, he was concerned about every aspect of my life. And when I did not include him in it, it was as though I did not recognize or care that he was. And so in our life, as we go through that, and that's why I want to bring this up again. Because this is what this woman came to realize. It says, you will never discover that God is all you need. You will never discover that God is all you need until you realize He is all you have. She knew. She had tried everything. In my life as a believer, I don't control anything. And if you do, you're badly mistaken. I've mentioned this before, but my next heartbeat, my next breath, is I have no control over that. It's all in God's hands. And when it's time for this heart not to beat again, it's all in God's hands. That's up to Him, not me. But He wants to be involved in everything in my life. And He won't be until I realize that just what I've told you, you discover that all you need is Him because He actually is all you have. Now the good news is, that is all you need. You say, well, I've got to eat. I've got to have a living. I've got to eat. Hey, if you're faithful with Him, He'll be faithful with you. I mean, I believe this to the point. I believe that God will make my washing machine last longer if I tithe than I don't, than if I didn't. I believe that I'll never run out of pork and beans as long as I'm faithful to be a good steward over what God has given me. Maybe you don't like pork and beans, that's all right. But you see, God wants to be involved in every aspect of your life as you go through your day thinking about the presence of God in you. All right, now I've got to get to my notes because I'll miss something that I wanted to say. Let's see. I wanted to just mention this. Remember, Moses asked God, he said, show me your glory. And he said, you get behind a rock because you can't look at me and live. And I will make all my goodness, God's goodness and His glory are the same thing. All the gracious attributes of God, His goodness and His glory. And He said, and I will proclaim all my, this is what He said, I will make all my goodness before you and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord, Yahweh. I am the self-existent God. I am the self-existent God. That's what Yahweh is, the I am. He is the self-existent God. That is the only thing in this whole universe, always has been, always will be, that is self-existent. I don't have to worry about, is there going to be a time he's not. He always has been and he always will be. Okay. Now I'm going to get on over here. All right. Now I want to go back to this woman for a minute because I didn't have this, I didn't remember this. And it's something important. Jesus asked the question, who touched me? Do you think for a millisecond he didn't know? Of course he did. Of course he did. Well then why did he ask the question? When Jesus asks a question, it's not because he doesn't know, it's because he wants to teach us something. It's because he wants to teach us something. That's why he asks the question, who touched me? When he asks a question, it is so that we might learn something from that, to teach us something. And what did he teach us there? That this woman was not only healed, but instantly she went from an unnamed nobody to a child of God. Immediately. Daughter, your faith has healed you. So you remember that when you're reading the Bible and Jesus asks a question, it's so he can teach you something. The bell rang, so and I won't be here tonight because they moved my great-granddaughter Isla K. Holt's birthday party to this afternoon. So I'll be drunk on cupcakes and Sprite. So I will go to my great-granddaughter's birthday party and Aaron will be teaching for me tonight, okay? And I'll be teaching again next Sunday, all right? But if you will, let me go to my great-granddaughter's birthday party. Let's close in prayer. Father, we come before you this evening in the name of Jesus, asking you to be with Brother Cliff today as he brings the word, be with Brother Aaron as he leads the worship. May we know for a reality that we are in the presence of an almighty God. From everlasting to everlasting, he does not change. We thank you for so great a salvation. We thank you for teaching us in your word, that we might not only know what the Word says, but we might know the God that wrote the Word and how it pertains to us. So continue to teach us by the Spirit through the Word that we might become more like Jesus Christ. And we ask it all in His precious name and through His shed blood we pray. Amen.